Good evening, this is Life Rattle, your story show. I'm your guest host, John Curry. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1338, we feature two special Earth Day stories by Natasha Hortono and Nicholas Zara. Today is the first program in a two-part Earth Day series this month. The writers you will hear write about a life experience grounded in an Earth experience. Too often in literature, Earth is presented as the backdrop for human activity. My hope is that with these pieces, that they'll remind us of what we do with our families and our homes and our lives during our work and play, that we still share a deep bond with the planet. What these writers do well is not push this idea, for as simple and as critical as it is an idea that has been pushed at us. Through subtlety in their stories, this notion is just there, present, but unadorned. I sincerely hope you enjoy these pieces. Our first writer tonight is Natasha Hortono, who was born in the spring of 1992 in Mississauga, Ontario. Her parents, both born and raised in Jakarta, Indonesia, moved to Mississauga in their mid-20s, where they met at church and got married. Ancestrally of Chinese-Indonesian descent, Natasha is regularly mistaken as Filipino. Her father is an accountant who commutes to Toronto every day, and her mother a dental assistant. As the older sister to two younger sisters, Natasha played teacher and wrote lessons for them and created dance performances with them for their parents. So far, she has worked at 12 paid jobs throughout her 23 years of life. Natasha lived on her own for the first time in Chicoutimi, Quebec, where she worked and played for 4 months and lived in a house with 8 other girls. Now Natasha works as a program coordinator for a French exchange program. Natasha Hortono prefers the city or rural communities over the suburbs, extreme heat or cold over lukewarm, and a brilliantly sunny day or thunderstorm over measly drizzle. Natasha's piece is a travelogue. Through her superb detail, we learn of a place and meet the locals and the visitors, who are all touched by droplets from the sky. Water has sprung forth in the small Quebec town before, as Natasha casually reminds us. With her writing, we feel what it is to go somewhere new and find ourselves giving in. Let's listen now as Natasha Hortono reads her story, Rain Dance, tonight on Life Rattle.
Rain Dance by Natasha Hortono. Tu peux aller, whispers Benoit Tremblay. You can leave. I look at Benoit's gray-black hair, then to his youthful blue eyes, and grin. He winks at me and puts a finger up to his lips. Shh. Benoit is letting me off half an hour early, like he often does, unbeknownst to the shop owner, Michel. Business was slow today, at Cool Limonade, a lemonade shack and ice creamery at the Old Port, a public market next to the Saguenay River in Chicoutimi, Quebec. Benoit will be fine on his own, and he knows I would like to go to the concert beside the river today, with performers from around the world. Merci, I thank him as I grab a hand-carved wooden fountain pen from beside the cash register, and turn to the calendar. Leaning over bowls of maraschino cherries, hot caramel and chocolate sauce, I quickly scrawl, Natasha, 6 hours, on Wednesday, July 11th, 2012. Take my $13 share of tips from the little plastic cup labeled pourboire, and say goodbye. Au revoir, Benoit. À demain. As I walk through the cavernous building, I wave to the candle maker across from our booth, to the owner of La Boulangerie, and to the owner of La Rouquine Vegetable Market. I step out onto the street, into a sea of hectic families, hugging preteens and smiling seniors, and follow the sound of music. Latin music blasts from tall twin speakers. On the large concert stage, 12 girls in bright flamenco dresses swirl in harmony to the quick beats. They finish their set, The audience claps, and another group emerges as heavy clouds darken the sky above the river. I clap fervishly after performances of hip-hop, ballet, and Irish dancing, and then a crash of thunder sounds from the other side of the river. White lightning bolts strike the mountain, and the angry rain clouds above St. Anne's Cross, towering on the edge of the hill at Chicoutimi Nord, releasing their heavy flood. The performance on stage continues. A group dressed in traditional Chinese clothing showcases a graceful piece as parents gather their children and lovebirds grab their bags and skateboards from the ground and flee. I stand and enjoy the performance. After having lived here for a few weeks, I have learned that Chicoutimi is infamous for its weather, scorching hot in summer, and, I am told, unimaginably cold in winter, so cold that you can ice fish on the Rivière Saguenay. They still speak of the summer of 1996, when a storm destroyed homes and crops and forced the town to evacuate 16,000 people. 10 people lost their lives. The flood, as locals refer to it, destroyed everything but for one little house. Now, La Petite Maison Blanche sits atop the hill as a tourist attraction, only 10 minutes walking distance from my summer housing. They sell little models of La Maison Blanche as keychains and copies of old photographs as postcards. I plant my feet to the ground as the wind lashes my hair and brings it to life. Within seconds, the clouds move from atop Chicoutimi Nord across La Rivière Saguenay to La Vieux Porte in Chicoutimi Sud. My heartbeat speeds up as a monumental black cloud stretches above me. Rain pours down and thunder rumbles through the rolling clouds. Like a scene from a horror film, people run from the pier, chased by the rain that hits the south side of the city like bullets. Oh my God, I curse under my breath. I turn around and begin to run with the last of the crowd. I should have left when the locals did. I hear running and screaming behind me as the rain hits hard. No one outruns the torrent. It chases them and engulfs them in the downpour. A few seconds later, it catches up to me. First, the sound deafens my ears, and then the powerful rain hits me full force. In less than 3 seconds, water streams from my hair all the way down to my painted toenails. My tank top, cardigan, and denim shorts cling to me like plastic wrap. I run through the Vieux Porte parking lot as cars splash by and past the famous local creamery where customers huddle under the red and white patio umbrellas. At the traffic light, I cross the main street and skip through the large puddles. My feet slosh through the warm water, already past my ankles and still rising. My dirty sandals get a thorough wash. I peel my soaked cardigan from one arm and then the other, crumple it together to squeeze out the water, and hold it over my head to protect myself from the rain. Patrick! Pat! I yell and fill my arms frantically at the man running in front of me, a student from Toronto who also works in Chicoutimi for the summer. He turns around, holding a sopping wet newspaper above his head. It flops onto his short black hair, looking like it's going to fall apart at any moment. His boxy glasses drip water, and I wonder how he can even see. Oh, wow, hey, Natasha. We run together until he reaches the boys' housing. My housing is a few blocks away. Take care, Patrick yells as he dashes into the apartment complex. I pass Rue Saint Laurent and finally reach my street, Rue Price. My face is dripping and I can feel the water running through my hair and slithering down my ears. I feel like I fell into a lake. I accept this fact and start to relish the feeling of the rain as it hits me. I walk to the crumbling concrete porch of my house and sit on the top step. The warm rain comforts me and I enjoy my view of the thunderous sky, black with bolts of white light. The old Gothic church upon the hill down the street rings its massive church bell. Its sound bellows through the patter of the rain and crashes of thunder. I've never had the chance to just enjoy the rain. I rustle through my bag to get my house keys. When I enter the house, I see movement on the back patio through the windows. I walk straight to the backyard and open the door to find my housemates Brianna, Larissa, and Pearl sitting at the patio table on the sheltered deck, drinking hot steaming tea and icy beer covered in beads of sweat. "Oh my God, what happened to you?" Pearl asks. "You poor thing," Larissa adds. "I just finished work and walked through the hurricane." I laugh as I imagine how I must look, with my eyeliner running down my face and my hair hanging in wet clumps. Brianna pulls out the wooden chair next to her and motions for me to sit there, at the side of the table splashed with rain. I sit and a large shiver runs through me. "Want some tea?" I nod and Pearl pours me a cup of Earl Grey from her grandmother's antique teapot. "Thanks." My first sip goes through me like a flame running through ice. The girls are barefaced, in sweatpants and sweaters, and on glasses instead of contact lenses. They come from the Toronto area, like myself, and work at local tourist attractions. "Guys, the rain is actually really nice. It's warm," I muse. I shift in my seat and see that I've already made an imprint on it. I feel really refreshed. I look to my right. Our backyard is a wet, dirt and pebble lot. The sky still grumbles and spouts heavy drizzle. "Hey," I look at them in the eyes, "let's go dance in the rain." I shimmy my shoulders and flash a huge smile. The thunder interrupts me, clear and crisp. "Let's go." "Wait, seriously?" Brianna says. I nod my head and turn to the others. A smile creeps up on Larissa's face. Hesitantly, her voice breaks through her emerging grin. "Okay, let's go." "Yes!" I look to Pearl, who has her laptop out on the dry part of the table. "We need a playlist," I say. She hands over her chunky laptop and I take it, careful to keep it away from the rain pouring in at the side of the table. I play "Alors on danse" by Stromae and take 4 steps out into the pounding rain. My soggy clothes embrace the pellets of rain and stick to my skin. Larissa takes off her sweater, slips into her flip-flops, and screams as she jumps into the thunderstorm with me. The rain bathes her just like me, and we grab onto each other's hands, shimmy, and laugh. Larissa and I run back to the patio, grab Brianna by the hands, and pull her into the middle of the yard to dance with us. "Where's Pearl?" Just as I ask, Pearl steps back out from inside the house, walks over to her laptop, and suddenly, Indian Bollywood music blasts beneath the roll and thunder of the storm. "Come here," I yell, and Pearl screams and runs towards our circle and starts to groove. I laugh out loud as I realize that she's wearing a blue tinted shower cap. Her long black hair is tucked neatly underneath the plastic. Not a strand sticks out. Tears glide down my face, either from my eyes or from the sky. I can't tell. I'm laughing too hard. It could be both. We twirl our hands Bollywood style and raise our right legs into the middle and shake them. "Let me show you a rain dance," I sputter between giggles. "I saw people doing this at the old port yesterday." I jump from foot to foot and throw my hands into the middle and up to the sky. Back and forth. "Hey yo, hey ya." The girls mimic me and we start to chant gibberish and transform into a tribal rain dance group. The deluge continues to drown our backyard as we fill it with laughter and more tears than it can hold.
That was Natasha Hartono reading her story, Rain Dance. Tonight's second reader, Nicholas Sara, was born in 1989 in Mississauga, Ontario. He is the middle child between an older sister and a younger brother. Nicholas graduated from university with a degree in communications and professional writing at the age of 22, and at the same time obtained a college certificate in digital communications. Apart from writing, Nick enjoys mountain biking and watching his favorite hockey team, the Montreal Canadiens. He's also an avid car enthusiast, participating in local car events and wrenching on cars to satisfy his horsepower cravings. Nicholas Zara currently lives in Caledon and works in the market research industry. Through humor, vivid detail, and crisp dialogue, Nicholas captures the nonchalance of a teenager, the perspective of wanting nothing to care about except more time on the PS2. Yet we see by the end of his piece that there is more to his character than this, leaving us with a small yet unforgettable moment from those years. Let's listen now as Nicholas Zara reads his story, Weeds.
Weeds by Nicholas Zara. Nick, Mom yells from the other side of my bedroom door. I press the pause button on the PS2 controller with my thumb. I'm busy, Ma, I scream back, eyes still focused on the television screen. You've been playing those darn video games all morning, Mom's voice grows louder. If you spent as much time on your homework as you did playing those stupid games. I shake my head and wipe crust from my eyelid. It's Saturday morning, Ma. What do you want from me? She stomps her feet up the hardwood staircase. The bedroom door opens. I've got a job for you to do. I glance at my alarm clock. 9:46. What do you want now, Ma? I mumble. Mom walks over to the window and twists the wand on the blinds. Sunlight pours into the dark room. My eyes squint. The lawn is full of darn weeds again, she announces. I slide out of bed and look out the window. A group of little boys ride their bicycles down the sidewalk. Well, what do you want me to do about it? I finally reply. Mom puts her hand against the window pane and plants her dark green eyes on me. I need those gone before your grandparents visit from Portugal this weekend. I can't have them come here with the lawn looking like that. Dad works 7 days a week at a subway station in Etobicoke. Lawn duty is my responsibility. But I dread anything that involves cutting, trimming, raking, clipping, planting, and getting dirty. If it isn't a hockey stick in my hand, I'm not interested. To avoid gardening, I once paid a Mexican kid from school to plant some flowers in the front garden. Mom grounded me for a week when she found out I paid him in jumbo freezies from the freezer. Today, I've got to do the job myself. If I don't, there's no way Mom will let me hang out later with my friends. I slide on a pair of navy sweatpants with holes in both knees and an old Wayne Gretzky t-shirt and drag my feet down the stairs. Here, Mom says, and hands me the keys to the car and a Visa card. You're going to need these. I shove a Quaker oatmeal bar in my pocket and step out the front door. Blackbirds chirp and whistle from the maple tree that divides our lawn from the neighbor's. The birds often wake me up in the morning, but it's hard to hate any animal that makes such a peaceful sound. Their soothing melody gently drowns out noisy car mufflers on the street and 747s that fly towards the airport. I look up into the maple tree. A bird's nest made out of tiny brown sticks hangs from one of the branches. I can see three baby chicks inside, one still with pieces of its bluish-green eggshell lodged into its feathers. The mother, peeking over from a nearby branch, watches her babies with their golden beak open in the air. I pull the oatmeal bar out of my pocket, break it into pieces, and sprinkle the grass with chocolate chips and dried cranberries. A layer of weeds, crabgrass, and dandelions coats every inch of the lawn. The infestation is out of control. I slide into the leather seat of Mom's Ford Explorer and turn the key in the ignition. The V8 turns over and a thick black cloud pours out of the exhaust pipe. Classic rock plays from the speakers. I slide the shifter into drive. Halfway to the hardware store, the fuel light on the dash illuminates its warning. No time to refuel. I walk into the store and the smell of lumber fills my nose. A gray-haired man, wearing a bright orange vest, hands me a flyer. Welcome to Home Depot, young man. Can I help you find anything today? I look left, then write. Actually, yes, I'm looking for something to kill weeds. He points over his shoulder. Aisle 24, sir. Right side. I force a smile on my face as my sneakers squeak against the concrete floor. I pass garden hoses, lawnmowers, sprinklers, rakes, and power washers. Finally, I spot a big orange sign with the number 24 on it. Make a right and walk past a collection of garden tools and wheelbarrows. A big yellow tool with three sharp claws catches my eyes. I take it off the hook and look at the shiny plastic tag attached to the handle. The ultimate weed grabber. Below the text is a picture of a middle-aged man crouched over with the tool in his hand. A giant spidery weed hangs from the claws. No way am I yanking out each weed by hand. I hang the tool back on the shelf. Two bays over, I spot a skid filled with green and yellow bags. I pick out a bag from the pile. Scott's fertilizer with instant weed killer, the label reads. Just spread and the weeds go dead. I plop the bag over my shoulder and head to the checkout counter, pay the clerk, and return to the SUV. I get home and pull an old fertilizer spreader out from the shed. The blackbirds chirp up in the maple tree. I cut a slit into the side of the bag with the car key and stop at an image of a white skull and bones with the word poisonous in bold below it. I pour little white pellets out of the bag and into the spreader. I breathe out of my nose. The smell makes my nostrils burn. I squeeze the trigger and turn the dial to the highest setting. 19 overlapping passes later, the front lawn looks like it got hit by a snowstorm. The weeds have no chance. I put all the stuff back in the shed and head out for the night with friends. Wake up, you bum, Mom yells as the bedroom door squeaks open. What are you going to do? Sleep all day? I glance at my alarm clock, 11:53. I've slept in. I slide on a pair of blue jeans and a grease-stained undershirt and make my way to the kitchen. I wolf down a bowl of Cocoa Puffs and stare out the window overlooking the front lawn. Most of the weeds still stand. My eyes catch a dark black object in the grass a few feet away from the maple tree. It looks like it could be a rock or a fresh load of turd from the neighbor's dog. I step out the front door and trudge towards it. The soil crunches beneath my bare feet as the sun strikes down on my forehead. I get closer and closer until my feet stop. Curled up beside my feet lies a motionless blackbird with its feathers pressed against the grass, its beak still open. I kneel down. A pile of white pellets and a half-eaten worm sit inside the blackbird's mouth. My mouth falls open and my eyes widen. My body goes numb. I try to stumble back up, then remain still and stare into the dead bird's eyes. Tears build as I look up to the branch that holds the nest.
That was Nicholas Zara reading his story, Weeds. This concludes Life Rattle number 1338. My name is John Curry. Lori Callis recorded Natasha Hortono and Nicholas Zara reading their stories. Life Rattle was created by Arnie Ackman and Guy Allen. Be sure to tune in to our next show, another Earth Week program I will host, featuring the writing of Shane Driver and Brandon Kimmel.